Okay, our children's church young people are slipping out. For those that have young people heading off to children's church, they can go at this time. Pray for their service that they have. Our scripture verse is on the screen, or will be here soon, right? Matthew chapter 18 in verses 2 through 3 is our scripture for today. Matthew 18, we didn't say it. So one more time, if you're able to stand, let's say it, our verse of scripture, then we'll have prayer together. Say it out loud with me, Matthew 18, verses 2 and 3. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray together. Our gracious Father, we are thankful for the blessing of your word today. Thank you for the songs that we've sung, and I thank you, Lord, for the fact that you have given us a place to gather to worship you. And Lord, we know, Father, that we've heard music that has offered praise to your name. And I pray God has helped to prepare hearts for the message that we are all about to listen to. And I pray God that we would open our hearts and our minds and worship you in the preaching of your word today. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do through the power of the Holy Spirit to move in hearts. And we just commit this rest of this service over to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Our text today is 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul is the writer of 2 Timothy. Chapter 4 is the last words that we see Paul had written. Paul gives a list of people that he recognizes in this particular passage. And you'll be familiar with many of these names. We'll start reading in verse number 9. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 9, Do thy diligence. In other words, he's saying to Timothy and others that are listed to make every effort to come shortly unto him. And the reason he says that, he's getting ready to have his head cut off. I know that sounds gross, but Paul spent most of his life in prison serving God, and now he has been put to death as a believer for the cause of Christ. He says, Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, the Cretans, to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, it's the same Mark that wrote the Gospel of Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable. He's useful, in other words, to me for the ministry. Antiochus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments, the Word of God. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, harm. The Lord reward him according to his works. Or in other words, he said, well, God's going to take care of him. Anybody ever done anything to you that's been wrong? And you want to get them back? Well, God says, you know, Paul, we need to practice what Paul says here. Just put them in the Lord's hand. God will take care of them. That's what he's saying about Alexander the coppersmith. Verse 15, Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And my first answer, defense, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, deserted me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, verse 17, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver, God shall rescue, in other words, me, he says, from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. So then God's going to bring me safely there. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Some wonderful words that we have just read from the life of the Apostle Paul. this passage we have before us is really the final warning that Paul gives before he was beheaded for his faith. Now, he'd been in prison, and he writes to Timothy to really encourage Timothy in these last words. And also, not only to encourage Timothy, but to give him some instruction. And as Paul closes this section, he reflects on those who were closely associated with him in ministry. And he mentions one person that I want to speak about today, and that person is named Demas. And notice what Paul says about Demas in verse 10. He says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans, to Galatia, to Titus, and to Dalmatia." Now, if you've been with us in the last several weeks, we've been talking about different men of God in the Bible, and most of these are great men of God that we want to maybe emulate to some degree, pattern our life after to some degree. I mean, Caleb was a man who was wholehearted. Josiah was a man of great influence. Noah was a man that was, remember, he was very determined. And Abraham, a great man of faith. David, a man of strength. Daniel, a man of greatness. Isaiah, a man of forgiveness. Habakkuk, as we looked at last week, a man of thankfulness. Today we're going to take a different look at the characteristics of somebody who maybe we don't want to be like. And his name is Demas. And if we could put Demas in a category of what we don't want to be like, Demas was a believer, but he was a backslider. Now, Demas had become an example of what a backslider is like. Now, I realize we don't have any backsliders here, right? I hope not. But let me say this, in a room this size, most likely we do. Most likely we do, or if we don't, you may be about to go in that direction of life that you don't realize what it's going to entail. Demas was a backslider. Now, he was not a lost man. In other words, he's not one who had never accepted Christ, but he is one who had made a profession of faith in Christ at one time in his life. He was one who was at one time was involved in serving God. He was also a helper to Paul. He was a co-worker with Paul. I mean, he at one time was maybe one of Paul's right-hand men. The Bible says, though, sadly, he loved this world. Demas, in other words, deserted, or in other words, he utterly abandoned his faith. Now, he couldn't lose his salvation because once you're saved, you're always saved. But you know what? There's something that we can do as Christians that we have to be careful of, that we can't abandon our faith. God never abandons us, but we can abandon God. And that's exactly what Demas did. You see, Demas was what we might consider a fair-weather disciple. He was one who had never really counted the cost of genuine commitment to Christ. Yes, he followed Christ, Lord. He served God. He helped. He was a helper to Paul. But really, what really was his greatest weakness is he really never totally committed genuine. He never genuinely committed himself to Christ. And you know what? There's a lot of people that walk into a church, they get saved, and they come to church, and they join that church, and they may be actively involved, but, you know, if we're not genuinely committed to Christ, then we're setting ourselves up to be like Demas. Because God requires commitment. You see, this morning I want to speak to you about the warning signs, or maybe the indications of the terrible condition of being backslidden. Yes, only a Christian can be backslidden. You can't lose your salvation once saved, as I've already mentioned that. Once you truly have put your faith and trust in Christ, God doesn't take away a gift that He's given us. We do, but God doesn't. We're secure in our salvation, but we can backslide. We can be a Demas. Now, if we can identify and heed the warning signs, we can avoid the results that I want to talk about there this morning. There are too many casualties among Christians today. Would you agree with that? Say amen. I mean, doesn't it bother you to hear about some of the casualties, and whether it be a family member, whether it be a church member, or any of us, we're all casualties, or at least capable of being a casualty. So that's why we don't judge people. We don't say, well, I go to church every Sunday, I read my Bible, so that means I'm a better Christian. Well, you're a casualty right there. You're setting yourself up to be that person that you may not want to be. Because really, it's only by the grace of God that none of us are casualties today. But there are some among us. There are some in this room maybe today. There are some that we know about. There are some that we come in contact with every day that are claimed to be believers, that they at one time they could tell you they made a profession of faith in Christ, they got saved, but they no longer serve God. It ought to break our hearts. I mean, when that happens, because you know, we never want to see anybody in that condition, because it's a miserable state to be in. Like Demas. You see, there are too many could have beens in life, and there are too many used to be's in life. And Demas falls in that category. And so this morning I want us to heed the warnings that I want to give to you concerning Demas' life. And really this takes a different twist of what we've been talking about over the last few weeks. We've been talking about some very positive things and these different men in the Bible. But yet we're going to look at maybe something that in somewhat is a negative. Well, it is a negative. But yet something that we all can learn from. And by the way, just because, again, you may be one that goes to church every Sunday and you are faithful to God, we need this message just as much as someone who may be like a Demas here today. Because the devil, I've learned, he's setting us all up for a fall. He really does. The devil, as I've said many times, the devil doesn't have any new tricks in his bag. He doesn't have any new ones. He's just reusing the same old tricks he's been using for hundreds of years. And we see that happening today. We saw that in Demas's life. He was a backslider. And what are some warnings that we need to heed to? Number one, distractions are abound. Whenever if we want to not be like a Demas, then we need to be aware of the distractions that are abound. And by the way, there are various distractions that abound around us. Number one, there's the distraction of possessions. We especially live in that time of year. We have to be very careful, don't we? Of the distraction of possessions. Then, you know, the getting and keeping material things capture a lot of our attention as Christians. You know, to want to have what maybe someone else has, and we expect to have those things, and possessions are great to have if they're used in the right manner. But notice in Matthew chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read to you in verses 19 through 21, as the Lord speaks about possessions, he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." He goes on to say, "Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be." There's a lot of Christians that are living life with these distractions that are abounding when in the way of possessions, thinking, listen, if I don't get it now, I won't get it. Boy, the devil likes to sell us that bill of goods, doesn't he? I mean, there's debt that runs rampant. I mean, there's immorality that's rampant. And you listen to all of that, it's all available. If you want it, you can have it, Satan says. But you got to possess it. Luke 12, verse 15 says, "And he said, Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." In other words, we don't have to have everything that we think that we have to have in life to think that we've been successful or we've made it or we've attained. But by the way, don't misunderstand my point I'm trying to make here this morning. I'm not saying that it's wrong to desire and to have nice things. I think that's fine. I think we all, I mean, we're being asked right now, what do you want for Christmas? You know, how many of you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm sure you've already been asked that. Because we realize it's that time of year. And of course, we all appreciate the nice gifts that we receive. We should, and be thankful for all of that. Now, you get to a point where I'm at in my age, you know, you just appreciate what you have. I know I do. And I really don't want my kids to have to run out and get in debt to buy for me, or my wife feels the same way. But yet, at the same time, you know, we're thankful. And we should be. We talked about that last week. But we don't want to negate the fact that we all desire nice things. But when those things are the pursuit of those things distract us from our primary purpose on earth, and what is that? Our primary purpose on earth as a believer is to glorify God with all of our being. To glorify God with all of our being. Now, but if we don't, then we're starting down the wrong road. And Satan knows the possessions is a road that often he tries to get us to travel. It's a distracting matter that abounds among us. Then there's the distraction of position. There's the distraction of position. You know, sometimes we're more interested in making a name or a reputation for ourselves than pleasing God. And we see that sometimes among Christians when they began to pull away from God, of wanting to be known, or maybe sometimes as teenagers, we warn our kids to be careful of the associations they make in school or whatever, to make sure that you choose the right kinds of friendships. And well, that goes along in life. We have to make sure that we choose the right friendships in life, and the desire to be somebody in the eyes of the world is really a distraction that Satan used when it comes to position. I remember, you know, the temptation of wanting to be somebody growing up in high school, and that meant sometimes to be somebody in my day, it may mean that you had to hang around people that wasn't necessarily the best people to hang out with, but you know, they were popular, and so to be popular, you had to kind of be like them. And you know, I learned the hard way sometimes that's not the route that I should take. And you know, position is something that Satan throws at us. If you want to be somebody, you got to be like this. But you know, listen what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. And he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. You know, we should leave it up to God, in other words, for the kind of friends that we have. Just leave it up to God. I've learned too in life that, you know, that as I've had to learn made the hard way, I'm sure many of you can relate to this, that, you know, if you'll wait, God has people that are bringing your life. A life's mate. You know, sometimes it's hard waiting for that life's mate, especially if you've been waiting for a while. But you know what? You never want to settle for second best. I've told our kids growing up, listen, you wait for God's very best for your life. Don't ever settle for second best. It may mean you have to wait for years. But you know what? Wait. Don't settle. Because you see, there's the distraction of position. Then there's the distraction of pleasure that abounds. The distraction of pleasure. Now, we're fully aware of this. Paul warned us that in the end time generation, there would be the love of self and pleasure more than the love of God. And we see that abounding among us today, don't we? The distraction of pleasure. You know, we're seeing so much of that being played out in the times that we live in. Flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, one chapter back. And notice what Paul says in verse 2. He says, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetousness, that is, lovers of money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. And boy, we're not seeing that played out today. I mean, the very words that were prophesied in the last words that Timothy spoke. But he says they'll be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, we're talking about even Christians today. Jesus warns us that the cares, the deceitfulness of riches and the pleasures are going to choke the word of God and make us fruitless. You know, to get on that road of backsliding, we see that Satan distracts us with pleasures. Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 22, He that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh unfruitful. What is Jesus saying here? He says, he that receiveth seed among the thorns. What does he mean? That is literally people who make superficial commitments without true repentance. Oh, listen, we're seeing a lot of superficial commitments today, sometimes even among believers, that there's no repentance that's involved at all. They can't break with the love of money and the world. And that's what Jesus said. We have to be careful. Don't get caught up with that. Don't get caught up with the distraction of pleasures. That's all of Satan's trickery to get you off balance. Distraction of pleasures abound. Distractions, number four, of problems abound. Oh, listen, the devil. You say, well, preacher, you're really going after the devil today. Yeah. He's the one we ought to be going after. And when we go after the devil, listen, he don't like that. But we teach our children that, you know, our kids have heard us grow up, and these, and I know Timmy's our only child here, only young man here today, but he can vouch, he's heard me say this, I trust you, but I don't trust the devil. Ah, oh, Dad, I could hear him say that. Well, I do. I trust my kids, and I do. I trust them until they give me a reason not to trust them. But I don't trust the devil. You see, the devil, he's busy about stirring up a lot of problems that seemingly have no solutions. You know, and a lot of what we are seeing taking place in society today is the devil working his plan to distract with problems. You see, we know that in society today, you don't have to turn on your news for 5 minutes to realize that we've got problems in society today. We've got problems in our world and in Washington and Hollywood and, I mean, in all kind of places today, the fake news that Trump likes to say. And listen, there is fake news out there. There are. There's one preacher friend of mine that was criticized this week in the paper. He got written up of something that he said that was misquoted. And boy, they went off on him. He's already had, he's had phone calls of people that are threatening his life. He's a local pastor here in town. He's preached from his pulpit. Preacher, who is he? Well, I'll say that till I talk to him. But I knew when I read the article, they lied on him. And because that's not this man, because, matter of fact, I know him well enough, he wouldn't make statements like that. He's gotten written up in the Boston Globe. He's gotten written up in all kind of papers, and his church has had threatening matters. But you know what? When it comes down to it, it's not the fake news. It's not Hollywood. It's the devil. You see, the devil is our enemy. The devil likes to distract with problems. And listen, if the devil can get you off track in life as a believer, you know the one thing he's going to do? He's going to bring problems in your life that is going to seem not too bad. You just got to give in to it. Peter tells us what to do in times of problems. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, speaking of God, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. These same distractions abound. If they happen to Paul and Peter and all of these, we're in the same distractions, we have them today just as much as they have. We're not exempt. So, yes, the distractions of problems are prevalent. I still don't believe that we have times near as bad as what Paul and Peter faced. We face some bad times in our world and society, and the immorality that's taking place all around us is nothing compared to what Paul and Peter faced in their day and time. But we're on our way to catching up. So Demas was backslidden because he gave in to the distractions that abounded around him. Secondly, we need to heed the warning of deceitfulness that is awful. Deceitfulness is awful. You see, the blinding. Consider the truth about Satan and the blinding that takes place. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, whose gospel? The gospel that we have, that God has given us to deliver. If our gospel, if our testimony, if our faith be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, little g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Deceitfulness is awful, isn't it? None of us like to be deceived in any way, but that's the working of the devil. And we find ourselves being distracted like Demas and going down the road of becoming backslidden. Then it all involves deceitfulness. And it's awful. The devil is a great blinder. That's what we see in 2 Corinthians 4. Some call evil good today and good evil. Have you noticed that? I mean, you can go out here and kill a baby today in the mother's womb and say, you know what, that's just the woman's choice. That's okay. That's not a problem. But when that baby is born, then that's murder, they say. No, really? Doug Jones, who's running for the Senate, he came out and I heard him say this, that he's for a woman having choice. In other words, up until 9 months, if that mother decides she wants to, we call it murder because that's what the Bible says, wants to murder that child in the womb at 9 months, then that's her choice. But he went on to say something that was very intelligent. But when that baby is born, then it becomes murder. Now think about that. We just had a little girl this past week. We're so excited about it. We waited around. That baby was 9 months old. Little Macy. And she was born this past Monday. 9 months. She was still in the womb. Mama's womb. And Mama delivered her at 9 months. And that baby had arms. It had hands. Had eyes. Feet. Precious little beautiful face. Just kicking around there. She came out just a crying. But that same baby that came out crying was the same baby that was in that mama's womb just a few minutes before she was born. And yet this guy that's running for Senate, he says, hey, it's okay to kill that baby in that mother's womb at 9 months. There's something wrong about that. There's something wrong about that. The Satan is a great blinder. Some call evil good and good evil. Matter of fact, Isaiah 5:20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We live into the day that you can be whatever you want to be. If you want to be a man or woman, that's whatever you choose to be. You can be that. Because you see, it's good to be able to choose what you want to be. I told my wife yesterday, which by the way, I don't believe in Santa Claus, but I told my wife the other day, we were watching the parade, and I said, it won't be long, you're going to be seeing, there's an issue with that man being Santa Claus. Because they're going to say, why can't there be a woman Santa Claus? She said, well, there is. She's just the wife. I said, there won't be such a thing because they're doing away with husband and wives. They're doing away with that. You can't. Matter of fact, you in some workplaces now, you cannot use the term Mr. or Miss anymore. Because you got to get politically correct nowadays. And you can't call a woman Miss anymore because you know what? That can offend her. And so she can now sue you for doing that. And vice versa. We live in some crazy times, don't we? Where Satan has blinded us to believe that, listen, evil is good, but good is evil. Just listen to people today. Now, I'm not angry. I just know, I really, listen, none of this should surprise us as well, although it does. we think, well, this is not supposed to be during our time. This is supposed to be, you know, down the road in other times and generation. But it's, we're now going through this in our times, and we're thinking, why are we going through this? Well, what Jesus says, because evil is known to be good today. It's good to be evil. That's what Satan has told people. It's good to be evil. And sadly, those who have found themselves in a backslidden condition like Demas are accepting evil as being good. The wicked are exalted. And those who do good are debased. In other words, they're reduced to having no value. If you try to do good and say something nice to somebody, I mean, I'm still of the old school. Guys, you ought to open the door for a woman. She comes up to the door. But the other day, I offended a lady for doing that. Well, okay, I just brought up differently. You know, trying to do good for people. We live in those times, and I'm not angry about that. I just have to remind myself, that's the times that we live in. And you know what? Because we're blinded by Satan today. It's awful, isn't it? Deceitfulness is awful. Deceitfulness is awful because of the blinding that takes place. Deceitfulness is awful also for the blaming that takes place. You see, we fall for the devil's lies and then we blame others for our failures. Have you noticed that? Sometimes we fall for the devil's lies, but you know, we like to point a finger and say, I didn't do it. They caused me to do it. Well, this is just, that's old school. That was done back in the beginning. If you remember, Adam blamed Eve for his sin in the garden. And when he said, she gave me to eat and I ate. Listen, we're still blaming for our sins others rather than accept the fact that we're sinners in need of a Savior. We need to repent. Instead of being responsible for our actions, we want to feel that we're right in doing what's wrong. And that's not right. Well, let's move on to the third point. We need to heed the warning that leads to becoming backslidden. And that third point is disobedience is acceptable. Have you noticed that? I've kindly alluded to that a little bit. But disobedience is acceptable. You know, we see this in the Word of God. God has already prophesied this. The Word of God points out that God teaches us to obey the Word. This is our obligation. Would you agree? God says that we're obligated to obey the Word of God. As we see in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men, God says. And sometimes we can know what the Bible says and we don't even do it, right? I mean, I have found myself doing that, even as a preacher. Know what God's Word says, but, you know, find myself, I'll just do what I want to do. And that's what the flesh has a tendency to do. But if you do that too many times, then you find yourself falling in the same trap that Demas fell into. And sadly, we begin to accept disobedience and we make it a practice. We find that today, and listen to me, this is a little pet peeve with me as a preacher. We're finding that more preachers are given into that thought line. That just go ahead and give into society and change your church around and change the worship around, change your music around, change what you're preaching and teaching around just to appease people, to get more people into the church and to grow the church big. And boy, watch it grow and makes you look good and makes you feel good. And what have you done? You fell in the same trap that Demas fell in. Sadly, there are many preachers today are accepting disobedience and go ahead and make it a practice. Now, and I say that, I don't mean preachers are, when I say they're accepting that, again, they're changing their constitution in their church, their bylaws, you know, to make it adaptable to today's time. Folks, we got to be careful of that, don't we? You know, we talked about immorality. Homosexuality is sin. And we talk about drunkenness. Listen, all of that is now being accepted in some of our so-called churches today. Just so that we can fit in with the way the world says do so. But that leads us to against the Word of God. Disobedience is acceptable when we begin to walk down that road of becoming backslidden. The will of God, we find, is something that is not considered. Like Demas, we can hear the Lord's word and we choose to do our own will and we disregard God's will. In Galatians 6 and verses 7 and 8, and I paraphrase, God says, do not be deceived. Whatever you sow, you're going to what? You're going to reap. God's already warned us. As a nation, we're reaping what we've been sowing for the last 20 or so years with some of our young people. We have failed. Listen, let me say this. We have failed this past generation as adults. And we're paying the price for it. And when I say we have failed, I say the moms and dads that should have been moms and dads in the home had not been moms and dads as they should have been. I'm not necessarily, listen, you only know how you've been as a parent. But in my generation, we have failed this past generation. That's why we've got a bunch of whiners out there. Really, that's the truth. That's why we've got a bunch of whiners that want things their way. They expect everything to be done for them. They expect the cell phones. They expect the bills paid. And they expect a brand new car to drive and all like this. When my dad, listen, if you want a dollar bill, you work for it. I didn't like it then when he told me that. But I appreciate him raising me right. They wasn't perfect parents by any means. But you know what? We've accepted disobedience in society. And we're paying a price. We're paying for it. And some of it we're never going to recover from. Because we're living in a day and time where God is saying, look up, He's coming soon. That when you start seeing what we're seeing around us taking place, all of these are part of what's going to happen in the end times. Evil is going to be accepted as being good, and good is going to be evil. God has already prophesied that. And Timothy was just reminding us of that in his last letter. And he said, but don't be like, he says in verse 10, don't be like Demas. Demas hath forsaken me. He loved this present world and has departed into Thessalonica. Don't be like Demas. Yes, he was a believer, but he forsook the faith. He's a backslidden believer. Then lastly, we need to heed the warning that becoming backslidden reminds us of the damage that is accountable. We have to take that into account. Damage is accountable. When we do damage, we got to pay a price for it. And what do we mean by that? Well, there's what we experience the heaviness that comes with that. The heaviness. Now, the saved cannot turn their backs on the Lord and His work without experiencing a great heaviness. Right? In other words, if you're truly saved, and I emphasize the point truly, if you're truly a believer, then you begin to pull away from God, you're going to feel that heaviness, that conviction. If you don't, then you most likely never were a believer anyway. Because you cannot pull away from God without experiencing that heaviness that we're talking about. Now, if you choose to be a Demas, prepare for a life of misery. If you choose to be a Demas, prepare for a life of guilt and a life of unhappiness. Because that's what you're setting yourself up for, that heaviness that's going to be accountable, the damage that comes along with that. And then we find the hurt. It's part of the damage as well. We'll hurt ourselves and our life more than anyone else. Like David, remember when David pulled away from God? When David sinned against God with Bathsheba, and of course his life went downhill there for a while. He pulled away from walking close to God. He sinned. And we'll show, you know, like David, and when we sin, we show contempt for the Lord and His word, and we'll give occasion to the enemy to blaspheme God. I've got a dear friend of mine that I went to school with in college has pulled away from God. It breaks my heart. And I want to just take him by the ears and just shake him. Because I went to school with him. I knew what his heartbeat was like. Man, he loved God. And you know, I don't want to sound hard or harsh, because I love him. I'd hope he'd want to feel the same way if he was in my position. Because I, I, I've, I know his heartbeat. He is called to preach, and now he's not preaching anymore. He's living the ways of the Lord, much like Demas here. Matter of fact, he is like Demas. It just breaks my heart. You know somebody like that? Family member or friend? We don't stand in judgment. It just, our heart is broken because we know that not only are they personally are experiencing heaviness, but they're hurting. And they know they're hurting. And they know that what they're doing is not right. And sadly, many who are lost, who they're trying to reach for Christ, are no longer being reached for Christ because the lost don't want to pay attention to someone who claims to be a believer, but yet not living for God. That's the hurt. It's accountable. And then there's the hindrance. We see the damage is accountable, not only through the heaviness and the hurt, but the hindrance will hinder the cause of the Lord. The devil will use the backslider. Have you noticed that? The devil is not worrying about a lost person. The devil, matter of fact, doesn't even use lost people. Because he's got them. He doesn't have to use a lost person to hinder the work of God. He uses that backslidden Christian who makes a profession of faith in Christ, like Demas, to hinder the church, the work of God. And you know, many sinful saints have hindered the work of the church that they belong to by their sinfulness. And you know, it's hard for a church to minister to a community when sometimes a saved person has given an excuse to blaspheme God. We've seen that in the news. We see people sometimes claiming to be a Christian. We've seen athletes that claim to be a Christian. You know, we see church members that sometimes claim to be a Christian. And we have to be careful. Yes, we don't stand in judgment. But if you're going to make that claim that you're a believer, then live it. We need to live it, don't we? We all have to work at it. Because if it were not for God's grace, I'd be like a Demas today. You'd be like a Demas. So I don't want to sound like here I'm preaching with a halo over my head this morning. I know that, listen, we're just so close sometimes where the devil wants to get us to cross the line that, listen, you know, just one little slip up can cause us to go down the same road that Demas has went down. We see, lastly, the hardness. The damage that's accountable is not only the heaviness and the hurt and the hindrance, but the hardness. And I've known this, that the longer a person stays in their backslidden condition, the harder it is for them to come around. They become cruel and critical of others living right. They cause others to question their own salvation. Oh, listen. May God help us not to ever go down that road. Because down that road, there are distractions. Down that road, there's deceitfulness. There's disobedience. There's damage that we all incur. You know, again, these are warnings. But let me ask you, will we honestly look at our lives and consider if we were on our way to becoming a Demas? Are we? Are we on our way to becoming a Demas? Well, every one of us in this room are. We are. Maybe you haven't traveled too far down that road, but you know what? If not careful, all it takes is one sin. Had David just looked away and pursued his own business, but yet David did not sin when he looked. It's when he stayed there and he paused. And that sin led to the next step that sin does. Because you know what? Sin's around us all the time. We're in the world, but God says don't be of the world. That doesn't mean that God expects us to live perfect Christian lives. Because God knows we're not perfect. Yes, we're in the world, but God does expect us that, listen, to walk and live as close to God as we can to protect us from being a Demas. That when we wake up today, how can I glorify God in my life? Because there's distractions that are around us. There are deceptions and there's disobedience. There's damage. we got to realize that we're accountable to God. The day that we stop realizing that we're no longer accountable to anybody, my kids on my school bus, they don't like that. I point out 10 rules on my school bus. Why do we have rules, Mr. Moore? I don't like that rule. I don't either, I tell you. One of them is you can't eat and drink. Sometimes I like eating and drinking on the school bus. But you go through and give a litany. But I have to tell them, listen, because life is about being accountable. We're going to be accountable. One kid I know, I've told you, says, I'm not. You will. And the IRS comes looking for you. You didn't pay your taxes. But you know what? We're more than anything, we're accountable to God as Christians. But that shouldn't be a negative for us as Christians. That ought to be a positive. No one better to be accountable to than the one who loves us, who cares for us, who died for us, who wants to be a part of our every decision that we make in life, who wants to give us things in life that brings pleasure and joy and excitement, and he's willing to do all that if we're willing to put him in the rightful place of our life. But as soon as we decide, hey, I don't need God, as soon as we decide, hey, I want what the world has, as soon as we decide that, hey, I want to do my own thing, then we're on the road of destruction. It's our choice. If you're here this morning without a personal relationship with Christ, I want to invite you to give your heart to the Lord. If you're here and you just need to come to this altar and pray, maybe it's for a loved one, maybe it's for you or someone that, listen, God's allowing you to be a witness to. I want you to come this morning. Use this altar this morning as God would have you to come. If it's church membership, baptism, you come if God's so leading you. Would you come today with heads bowed? Christians praying.